Once again, this is Jim Rao, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, the Lord talks about the nations, and it comes as no surprise to the Lord that the nations will rage against him, that the nations will constantly be shaking their fist at God, the nations will constantly be in rebellion towards God. And this goes way, way back, not only in Psalm 2, where the Lord poses the question, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Well, God is talking about here that the nations are constantly in conspiracy against the Lord, and we know this is going to culminate in a new world order, a one world religion, a one world currency, a one world move against the Lord God that will culminate against all the nations coming against Israel and all the nations shaking their fist at God, thinking that they have a better plan than submitting to him. And so this all started way, way back in Genesis in chapter 11, verse 1. It said at the time of the Tower of Babel that the whole earth had one language and one speech. In Genesis 11, 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And if you remember back to that story, the men had gathered together, the men had purposed in their mind to build this tower to reach the heavens or peer into the heavens, and so they were in rebellion to the Lord. Some people say that it was a tower to just look at the stars where they could work their astronomy charts and predict into the future. But for whatever reason they were building that tower, the Lord didn't like it, the Lord didn't agree with it, and the Lord said in verse 6, the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And so the Lord saw that the men were evil, that the intent of their heart was evil. He saw that their purpose was not good. And he said, because they can all speak the same language, they can communicate with each other, they can share with each other the purposes of their heart, they can share and make their ideas come to pass. The Lord said to Jesus, he said, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And so we know that the Lord came down, that he confused their speech. That's what Babel means. It means confusion. And that came to be the place where Babylon, the city Babylon, was later built. And so the Lord came down, he confused their speech, he scattered the people into many lands. The earth, the lands of the earth were separated shortly thereafter in the time of Peleg. And so we know that men constantly conspire and the nations constantly conspire against the Lord and against his purposes. And that is what Psalm 2, verse 3 says. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Well, because we are created in the image of God, because we are created in his image, and we have been given his purposes here on this earth, we have a connection to God through our spirit. Our spirit hears from God. Our spirit listens to God. But many times our souls take over, and our souls direct our lives, and the souls of men direct them. And when they get together in their nations, and when they get together to conspire against God, they say, let us break the bonds of God, let us break the bands that are attaching us or holding us to God, let us break the bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Well, in John 3:19, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, nor comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But in John 3:20, he says, but he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that is, his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. And so Jesus said that those who receive the light, the light of the world, those that acknowledge the light in their life, those that receive the light, that they are doing the truth. He that does truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen. And so we know that those that walk in truth, they're not ashamed of their deeds. Those that walk in truth, they're not ashamed of the light. They are openly exposed to God. Their deeds are exposed to God, and he blesses their deeds. It says that they have been done, or they have been wrought in God, that their deeds may be made manifest, that they may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. But those who love to do evil, those who love the darkness rather than the light, they love to do their sin. They love their sin. They love to revel in their sin. They love to revel in rebellion to God. They openly defy God. They openly are in rebellion to God, and they love the darkness. That is why people are very stubborn. That is why people don't come to the Lord. They love the darkness. They love their sin. They enjoy their sin for a season until they come to the point where they are broken, till there is some kind of calamity, some kind of sickness, some kind of financial disruption or calamity. Then many people turn to the Lord, but until that time, they love their sin and they love to revel in the darkness. Well, going on in Psalm 2, it says that God decrees about his Son in chapter 2, verse 7, "I will declare the decree, the Lord said to me, you are my Son." He's speaking to Jesus here. "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession." And so God has already given to Jesus Christ the nations for his inheritance. Jesus already knows that he is going to inherit the earth. He already knows, in spite of everything that the devil tries to throw up against the kingdom of God and against the saints who are doing God's will, Jesus knows that the nations are eventually going to be his inheritance, and in fact, he has already decreed over them his inheritance. And that is why, beloved, if you are doing the work of the Lord, if you are seeking his face, if you are seeking to do his will in your life, he is going to give you authority over not only your life to do his will, but he's going to give you authority over your family, over your household, over your city, and eventually he will give Christians the authority over the nations. But the opposite is true as well. When we are not obedient to the Lord as individuals and as a nation, when we are not obedient, and when we constantly rebel against the Lord, and we embrace what the Lord calls abomination, and we embrace those things that God disdains and that are repulsive to him, then God will not give us the authority over ourselves. He will not give us authority over our families. He will not give us authority over our cities. And he will not give us authority over the nations. And so he said to Jesus, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession." And verse 9, Psalm 2, "You shall break the nations with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Well, we see a corollary to this in Revelation 19:15, and Jesus is coming back. He's riding on a white horse. He has a sword in his mouth, and he has a rod in his hand, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And so when Jesus comes back, he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's not coming as the gentle little lamb. He's coming back, and he's coming with a sword in his mouth and a rod in his hand, and he's going to smite the nations. He is going to break the nations into pieces. He will dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. He treads himself the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And so we know Jesus and God are gods of love. Jesus is a God of love. He loves every single person, even those who are trapped in sinful lifestyles. He loves every single person. He shed his blood on the cross for every single person that's trapped in perversion, trapped in sexual immorality. No matter what sinful lifestyle they have chosen for themselves, no matter what sinful lifestyle they are acting out, whether it's adultery or fornication, sexual immorality, pornography, homosexuality, whatever form of perversion and immorality they have chosen, God loves them. Jesus died for them. He shed his blood for them. But when people continue to rebel against God and continue to live in a lifestyle of unrepentant sin and willfully sin and willfully live in that lifestyle, then there is no more sacrifice for their sin. There is no more mercy for them. There reaches a point where God says, you are willfully turning away from me and you're willfully rejecting the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And at that point, then, there can be no more sacrifice given for their sin. The second point I want to make is that the nations who serve the Lord will be blessed. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. And so America is a very blessed nation. We have served the Lord. We've been blessed over the years, over 200 years. We have been blessed by the Lord. Churches on every corner, places to worship openly on every corner, crusades and revivals going way back hundreds of years, massive crusades, people coming to know the Lord in cities by the whole city full, and thousands and tens of thousands in stadiums and places of worship where people can openly worship the Lord. And it isn't this way, brethren, in other places in the world. Many, many places there's persecution. To name the name of Jesus Christ brings great persecution into your life, and to name the name of Jesus would have you to be killed or imprisoned, or you may not even be able to own a Bible in places in the world. And so America is a blessed nation. Many, many of the founding documents attest to the fact that God was there at the founding of this nation, that God was present in the hearts and lives of the men who formed the founding documents of this nation, that God was present in their life. He was foremost in their life. He answered their prayers. Proverbs 14:34 is another very interesting scripture about the blessings that come from nations that serve the Lord. And it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so righteousness not only exalts individuals, when you live a life of right standing before the Lord, when you live a life of righteousness before the Lord, you will be exalted, you will be blessed, you will be anointed, you will receive that blessing that the Lord has for you for walking in his commandments. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so as we individually choose righteousness, so the nation goes. As we individually choose sin, so the nation goes. And so America is treading in dangerous water when we choose sin, and the government of this nation supports sinful lifestyle, and the government of this nation eventually shuts down individual liberty and individual freedom and the desire of the founding fathers and the desire of the Lord to let people worship in freedom and let people worship unrestricted the desires of their heart to serve him and to exalt him in their life. And so we are treading in dangerous water. I give this message today not out of joy. There's other things that I'd much rather preach about, but we are treading in dangerous water, and God has given me some prophetic mantle. He's given me prophetic dreams over the years that let me know what is coming to America, that let me know the destiny and the future of America. And I wanted to share one of those dreams with you right now that was given to me just this spring that I believe is going to be made manifest this very summer. I believe it's going to come to pass this summer. In a dream, I was looking west from the town where I live. I was looking to the west, to the horizon, and there were storm clouds gathering. There were storm clouds with great intensity starting to gather, and all of a sudden down out of the storm clouds came a huge tornado, and it dropped down to the earth, and it started to come towards the town where I was. And I had a great sense of urgency, I had a great sense of panic, that I was to warn the people, that I was to let the people know that there was destruction coming, that this huge tornado was coming, and it was going to be very destructive. And I don't believe it was just specifically for the town where I was sitting. I believe it was for the country. I believe God was giving me a warning because I have this radio broadcast and a platform to speak over the country through these radio broadcasts and also through the internet on my website. And so I believe the Lord was giving me a warning to share with the people that this tornado was coming, that the destruction is coming. And he also gave me a sense of timing. I was sitting at the corner of two highways in the town where I live, and I was selling tomatoes. I'm a truck farmer, have had truck crops over the years, had an organic farm, and so I sell crops on the street corner occasionally out of the back of my pickup. And so I was sitting at the corner of the two highways there, and I was selling tomatoes out of the back of my truck. And so the Lord has given me a sense of timing that it's going to be in the summer, because we're just starting into the tomato season. I just sold my first tomatoes out of my greenhouse a couple of weeks ago, and so I believe the Lord was showing me that it's going to come during the tomato season, which here is generally late July, August, September, some into October. And so I believe the sense of timing, he was showing me that this is going to come. He gave me another hint about timing, and that is that the wheat was out in the field and the combines were in the field. And so that was another sense of timing, and the combines began to speed up. When the farmers saw the urgency that this storm was going to bring, that it was going to be possible hail or heavy winds or heavy rain, then the farmers began to speed up in their combines, and they went through the fields at a much faster rate, trying to gather in as much wheat as they could before this storm struck. And so the Lord gave me two references to timing there, the selling of the tomatoes and the harvest of the wheat. Well, we're just now finishing up with the wheat harvest. 96% of the wheat has been harvested in the state of Kansas, and so the wheat harvest is just about over. So I believe the Lord is saying that the time is coming for this destruction. And I don't know, beloved, I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know if it's going to be just a tornado that wipes out some city or wipes out a large path through some city, just as it did Joplin many years ago and Moore, Oklahoma. I don't know how it's going to come, but I believe there's going to be great destruction. I believe there's going to be a body count and death and destruction, and God is warning you through me that this is going to come, and he's wanting us to prepare. It's going to be a harbinger of greater destruction yet to come if we don't turn back to the Lord, if we don't seek him and turn back to him and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then this is going to be just a harbinger of greater destruction yet to come. Well, the Lord has appointed the prophets to speak to the nations. The Lord has appointed the prophets to warn. That's why I'm warning you today. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you," or "I set you aside. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." In verse 10, "See, says the Lord, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And so the Lord has his prophets. They're speaking. Amos 3:7 says that the Lord does nothing without first warning his servants, the prophets. So the Lord is speaking his message to the prophets through dreams, through visions, through revelation, through every way that he can. The Lord is speaking to the prophets, and he's saying, "Cry out to the people. Cry out to the people. Tell the people to get ready. Tell the people to prepare, to get down on their knees and to repent and to seek the Lord, to seek his face. Tell the people that destruction is coming And beloved, I love this country. I love each and every person. I don't want to see destruction coming. I'm not of the mindset that I'm saying, oh Lord, bring it on, because it'll bring us to a place where we want you more. Lord, bring it on. Just bring it on. No, I don't want to see that. I don't want that to happen in this nation. I would much rather we just listen to the prophets and we turn from our wicked ways and we seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and pray to me, says the Lord, I will hear their prayer from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Lord, I pray that you would heal our land and that we would not need to be chastised with great destruction, that we would not need to be rebuked and disciplined with great destruction and calamity. I pray that people would just listen to the voice of the prophets and be able to turn back to you and turn from their wicked ways, forsake their sin, forsake walking in the darkness, and turn to the light. I pray that they would do that today and that they would come to know you without all the calamity. And the Lord says, I have set you over the nations, Jeremiah. I have set you over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Well, I pray, beloved out there listening today, I pray that we can build and plant in America and not have to destroy and not have to pull down. And I pray that you would receive this message and that you would turn to the Lord, you would seek his face, and turn back to him. Well, I'm going to speak just a minute about the mission coming up, and you'll have contact information, how you can contact this ministry. Contact information coming in just a minute. We're going to be leaving in a couple of weeks for Africa. I'm going to be preaching in Burundi and in the Congo and in Kenya, doing outdoor crusades and revival meetings in churches and pastor training in churches. And so I pray that I can hear from you this week. I pray that you would sit down, write me a letter, include a donation, make your most generous offering to this ministry. We seek you as a partner. We need you as a partner. The kingdom in Africa must go forward, and the harvest is ripe. There are many, many people there who are hungry for the Lord. They're hungry for his word, and they want to know about Jesus Christ. They come to the Crusades, and they desire to know him as their Lord and Savior. So I pray that you would come alongside this ministry, help boost this ministry, help send us to Africa, help pay the expenses for these Crusades, and the blessings will be yours, beloved. The blessings will be yours. You will come to know that your donation is being used to bring in the harvest, and you're storing up your treasures in heaven, and God will bless you accordingly as you bless this ministry. Well, thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week.